24. Wish list.
Wish list.
Boy, wake up.
Maul watched as Eagan opened his eyes and stared directly up at the red tattooed face peering down at him. When Eagan tried to sit up, Maul held his shoulders down, pinning him flat to his bunk, leaning down to speak into his ear.
Where's your father?
He's still in medbay, the boy said. His leg...
Maul shook his head.
I just checked. He's not there. Where was he taken?
Taken?
The bewilderment in Egan's face erupted into panic. His face looked haggard and terrified, his cheek still bruised and swollen from where Voistock's elbow had struck it, and then realization began to seep through his features.
Why would anyone...
Your father knew Radik,
Maul said.
Who?
Iram Radik. Your father saved his life and followed him here to Kharkiv 7. That's why he brought you here. In Medbay, he told me that you have information about where I can find him. He said you know everything that he knows.
That's not...
Egan shook his head.
I don't know anything about that, I swear.
Maul resisted the urge to shake him just to see what might come loose. It had not been a good night. Since leaving the factory floor and his highly unsatisfactory meeting with Zero and Coil, he'd prowled the holding cells restlessly, making his way to Medbay, only to find it deserted. The old man's cell was empty too. Maul had questioned the gang members, but no one knew anything of Artigan Truax's whereabouts. Having spoken Radik's name aloud, the old man seemed to have vanished completely, swallowed whole by the system that imprisoned him.
Look, you have to believe me,
Eagan said.
If I knew anything, I'd tell you.
He gaped up at Maul beseechingly.
I've never even heard of this guy, Radik.
Maul looked down at him. Maddening as it was, everything the boy said rang true. His ignorance on the topic of Radik and his father's connection to the arms dealer sounded absolutely authentic. There was only one part of the story that didn't make sense.
If you don't have any connection with Radik,
Maul said,
then why are you still alive? Why didn't the guards terminate you and your father after you tried to escape?
To this, the boy had no answer. Maul left him there in his bunk and went back out to the concourse, up the long hallway, to the silence that lay beyond.
Jagannath.
Iz Smash's voice whispered.
It's me.
Maul paused and glanced down to where the other inmate was crouched back against the wall outside the prison laundry facility. Even here amid the leftover reek of detergent, he'd smelled the Nelvanian before he'd seen him. The dampish, feral odor of the inmate's fur already familiar to his nostrils.
Brought you something?
Iz Smash said, digging into the hip pocket of his uniform and slipping a tightly folded rectangle of flimsy plast into Maul's palm.
Just downloaded it off a utility server. Not the easiest thing to get either on account of...
Is it complete?
Uh-huh.
There was no mistaking the trace of pride in the Nelvanian's voice.
That's everybody, far as I can tell.
Maul scanned the list of inmates. 218 names in all, with numbers, cell assignments, and criminal histories in reverse chronological order, some of them going back several years. His own name was the most recent addition. A single name, Jagannath, and a list of trumped-up mercenary charges and crimes that Sidious had provided for him before he'd dispatched Maul on this mission. Out of the corner of his eye, he was aware of Iz Smash beginning to edge away into the shadows.
Wait.
The Nelvanian stopped.
Who's this?
Maul pointed to a name midway down the list, one that had leapt out at him instantly, echoing the last word he'd heard spoken from Zero, down on the factory floor.
Rook?
Izmash looked up at him, eyes widening ever so slightly.
Who is he?
The Nelvanian shook his head.
Don't know. Never heard of him before.
He's here in Cogive 7. What species is he?
No idea.
Izmash shrugged.
Look, there are lots of inmates on this list I've never met, he said.
He was already beginning to back away again, casting longing glances at the hallway.
Now, if there's nothing else you need...
There is.
Maul's hand fell to the other inmate's shoulder, stopping him.
I need you to hack back into the system again. Get into the algorithm itself. Fix the next match. So I'm fighting Rook.
What?
Izmash shot him a look of pure incredulity.
Do you have any idea how difficult that's going to be? Especially after I've hacked it once already?
He shook his head.
After what happened in Medbay, the guards will be looking for anything out of the ordinary.
You've done well,
Maul said, nodding at the list of inmates.
You've already proven yourself more valuable to my cause than the one who was leading you. Strabo will learn his place beneath you,
Maul said.
If he has not already.
I'll need time.
You'll have till the next match. By my count, that gives you 3 hours.
But that is...
I'll create a diversion,
Maul said. I suggest you take advantage of it.
How will I know when the time is right?
I'll be in contact with you.
He took the list and walked away.
Skull Game.
There was no meal being served at the moment, but Maul found Coil in the mess hall anyway, on his hands and knees. The Chandra fan was humming to himself jauntily as he burrowed through the refuse bins in the corner, digging for scraps and tossing them onto a spare tray that he'd scavenged from the kitchen. Maul waited until Coil stopped, straightened up, and turned around, his whiskers dripping with something thick and pasty.
Jaggernaith,
the Chandra fan said, beaming, as convivial as ever.
Ready to fight again, are you?
He rubbed his hands together.
We're all expecting to see you victorious, and very soon.
Maul didn't answer. His response, when it came, was to reach out and dump a small handful of bones onto Coil's tray. The Chandra fan frowned at them, momentarily flummoxed, then looked back up at Maul, blinking quickly.
What are these?
For you, Maul said, to use in your work.
Is that so?
Coil picked one of the bones up and examined it thoughtfully.
Yes, I might have use for it. Yes, indeed I might. I thank you, Jaggernaith. You have my gratitude. Yes, you do. Although it makes me wonder.
I've been looking into your background,
Maul said.
Why you were sent here to Coghive 7 in the first place?
Coil's eyebrows twitched.
Oh, yes?
You weren't always a sculptor. Before you came here, you made other things.
He waited.
Counterfeit currency, to be exact. Credits on demand.
The rodent's face became the very picture of serene innocence.
Did I?
If I were to ask you to ply your trade again for me,
Maul said,
I could supply you with any number of bones for your sculptures in exchange.
How much are we talking about exactly?
300,000 credits.
And what would you be wanting it for?
I need to buy something.
Well...
Coyle rubbed his hands together and bobbed his head from side to side thoughtfully.
Well, well, well. I would need materials, of course. A means of fabrication. A craftsman's best friends are his tools. And the end product...
Make a list, Maul said. Give it to Zero. He'll get you what you need.
And for me?
Maul stopped and turned back.
What do you want?
My newest work, Coyle said. I believe you've seen it. It could benefit from a certain type of skull. A larger one. Saurian, perhaps.
His tongue flicked out and moistened his lips.
I hear there's a Deathspine Viractyl locked up in one of the lower cell blocks.
A Viractyl?
Intriguing creatures. Have you seen them, brother? 15 meters long.
The Chatra fan grinned.
You see, it's a fascinating thing. The way the sinuses in their armor-plated skulls are designed to funnel and amplify sound to create a certain specific type of noise when the air passes through.
Maul nodded.
It's done. Old man.
Artigan Truax awoke to the sound of voices in the darkness. Two of them, conferring in hushed tones from a place he couldn't see. At first, he wasn't even sure they were real. The floor beneath him was cold and hard. He didn't know how long he'd been lying here. The pain in his leg, or what remained of it, was playing tricks with time, stretching it out while it sucked him in and out of consciousness. He was shaking and trembling, spasms that only made the agony more intense. His forehead was blazing with fever. Through cracked lips, he forced the words,
"Where am I?"
He wasn't sure if he'd actually spoken aloud, although he must have, because the two inmates stopped their conversation and peered down at him. Neither of them was human, he saw. One was an Aqualish, the other a Twi'lek. The one that the other prisoners called Zero.
"You shouldn't push yourself, Artigan,"
the Aqualish said. Its words came out as a series of barks, but Artigan, who'd spent more than enough time among such species, fighting for credits, mentally translated the words into Basic.
"You need rest. You're badly hurt, and you really can't afford to make it worse than it already is."
Artigan tried to move and felt the pain explode back through the hastily bandaged stump of his leg. The entire lower half of his body felt like it was on fire.
"Water!"
he croaked.
"Need a drink!"
"When you were in Medbay,"
the Aqualish continued,
"you said some things to that Zabrak that you probably shouldn't have."
He paused.
"Information about Mr. Radik. Certain details that you really shouldn't have shared. We can agree on that, can't we?"
Radik?
Artigan just stared up at him, stranded somewhere between shock and disbelief.
"Those guards wanted to kill you and your son on the spot for your escape attempt."
The Aqualish continued and glanced over at Zero.
"Now, it's true that Mr. Radik was able to protect you from being terminated."
Artigan said nothing. But his protection won't last forever, the Twi'lek said. We need to know what you told the Zabrak, Artigan. Details. And please be as specific as possible.
I just told him...
Yes? The old man opened his mouth and closed it again.
Where is my son?
The Aqualish and the Twi'lek exchanged a glance.
Yes, your son,
the Aqualish said.
Perhaps he might be able to help us with our questions.
No!
The old man shook his head.
Leave him alone! Leave him out of it!
From somewhere inside the prison, the alarms began to sound. Veractyl. Izsmash removed the little panel from the back of the force feedback climate control valve using a slender metal shim and a pair of tweezers.
Lovely,
he muttered.
The wiring's on a trip switch stepped down all the way back to the primary alarms.
Leaning in, he separated the wires.
Hand me the keypad.
Strabo thrust it over in disgruntled silence. Ever since the regrettable incident in the prison laundry, his status within the Gravity Massive had plummeted from leader to toady. Meanwhile, within that same stretch of time, without a word being spoken, Izsmash had somehow risen to the level of de facto captain of the Massives. The reversal was humiliating. Yet there was little to be done. The rest of the crew somehow seemed to sense that Jagannath had appointed Izsmash as their new captain, and that was the end of it. Now he and the Nelvanian were standing on a 2-meter-wide expanse of latticework in one of the countless sublevels of the prison. Steam pipes and 400-degree thermal vents bracketed the concourse on either side like heavy, cylindrical pillars. From the other side of the wall that formed a seemingly abandoned stretch of holding cells, something screamed and thumped, emitting a short, loud hooting call. Whatever was in there, it sounded huge and angry. He shot a glance at Izsmash.
You're sure this is the spot? This is where Jagannath told me to hack in.
The Nelvanian picked at the wiring, threading the keypad into place.
No idea how he's going to keep from tripping the alarms, though. Personally, I think we're all dead.
He glared at Strabo.
Hold that light steady, will you?
Strabo almost shot back a retort, but held his tongue. He was only here because he too had received a message from Jagannath telling him that his presence was necessary for this operation. Apparently, his sole reason for existence now was taking orders from others.
What if...
he began. But that was as far as he got before the hatchway to his immediate right exploded off its hinges. Strabo leapt back with a cry of surprise. What he saw defied all expectation. An orange-skinned, death-spined Veractyl, 4 meters high, came bursting forth into the concourse, its tail thrashing and whipping the air. The bird lizard was shrieking and hooting wildly, slamming its body against the far wall, and immediately Strabo understood why. The Zabrak, Jagannath himself, was sitting astride its back, clutching its beaked face with both hands, jerking it right and left.
Jagannath?
Strabo's mind whirred.
How did he get in there in the first place?
Then he saw it, just a glimpse through the open hatchway. The ceiling of the Veractyl cell, with the open panel that had been dislodged from above. Directly in front of him, the bird lizard bucked and swung itself 180 degrees around, braying all the louder as it tried to throw Jagannath from his perch. Its hind leg came forward, hooking one claw-like foot into the Zabrak's torso and slashing his skin. But the red-skinned inmate hung on with a kind of brute force determination that Strabo had never seen before in any species. He was suddenly grateful that he decided not to defy Jagannath's orders to come here, and glad that he'd never had to face the Zabrak in a bout. By now, the entire prison was responding to the disruption. Guards' boots were pounding way up the hall. From the walls, alarms wailed and keened. Looking off to the right, in the midst of everything, Strabo saw Izmash working furiously over the keypad that he'd patched into the prison surveillance system, swiftly tapping in digits with a focused intensity that was completely at odds with the mayhem around him.
What's he doing? Why is he?
A blur of activity snapped Strabo's attention forward again. Jagannath had managed to grip the Viractyl by its crest and wrenched its armor-plated skull hard to the right, slamming it directly into one of the steam pipes along the far wall. The creature shrieked again, a wailing, mournful cry that turned out to be its swan song. The steam pipe burst apart, shooting a thick, scalding blast of focused heat directly into the thing's face, boiling its flesh and scalding its eyeballs in their sockets. The effect was immediate. Strabo's nostrils stung with the stench of burned feathers and flash-fried skin as the Viractyl's flesh peeled back to expose the thickly plated vault of its cranium. Its body collapsed, with the Zabrak still astride it. Voices murmured behind him, and he glanced back over his shoulder. Curious inmates had joined the guards, who were crowding up the hall now, drawn by the noise and activity.
What happened?
Somebody asked.
Lizard broke loose,
Izmash muttered. He'd already finished whatever he'd set out to do with the wiring, yanking the keypad loose and shoving through the open panel, then closing it up just in time.
Jagannath stopped it.
Yeah. I guess he did. In front of him, Jagannath had taken hold of the Viractyl's boiled skull. With a final jerk, he snapped it completely free from its neck and yanked it upward. The scorched gray rag of the thing's tongue tumbled free and dangled from its mandible like a limp rag of surrender. Silence fell through the hallway. Dismounting, the Zabrak hoisted its massive skull up over his head. The inmates and even some of the guards taking a step back as he carried the grisly trophy forward down the length of the concourse. At the end, he turned and kept walking.
Where's he going with that thing?
One of the guards asked aloud. Strabo heard another guard answer, under his breath.
You want to ask him?
How beautiful, isn't it?
Coyle peered admiringly at the skull in front of him.
Didn't take you long to procure, did it?
Maul said nothing. He'd carried the bird lizard skull down the factory floor and dropped it unceremoniously at the Chadrafan's feet. And what he felt now, more than anything, was exhausted. Staying on top of the thing long enough to kill it had required more strength than he'd expected. And at some point, during the fray, its powerful claws had dug a deep gash into his right flank. Blood was oozing slowly but steadily from the wound. Yet it would all be worth it if things went as planned.
Are you all right, Jagannath?
I'm fine,
Maul said shortly.
Just make sure you're ready with your end of the deal.
I've already spoken to Zero about the necessary supplies.
Maul nodded.
I'll be back soon,
You should rest, my friend. You think they'll be matching you again soon?
Very soon, Maul said. If all goes as planned.
Meaning what, exactly?
Maul didn't respond. Just turned to walk away.
Jagannath! Wait!
Maul looked back. Reaching out, Coyle slipped something into his palm. A small sealed packet. Maul glanced down and saw that it was full of finely crushed powder. What's this?
White Metaxas root,
the Chadra fan said.
It's flavorless and odorless, but a few granules will kill almost anything that ingests it.
Maul tossed it aside. I don't need this.
Suit yourself. But it might come in handy.
Maul left the packet where it fell. All he needed right now was rest. If he could spend even a few moments recuperating in a cell and fashion some kind of makeshift dressing for the wound, he knew he'd be all right. And if Izmash had been able to take advantage of the distraction he'd created to hack back into the prison's algorithm again... And that was when the second set of alarms, the clarion call that meant the beginning of the next bout, began to shatter the world with sound.